Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. In our last discussion, our last shiur, we pointed out that we will be preoccupied till Daf Pei Aleph with the issue concerning quantities with regard to food and drink. In general, we will be interested in those topics with regard to Yom Kippur. However, many other topics relating to food quantity and beverage quantity will be mentioned along the way. Before we turn to the text itself, where we'll begin 7 lines from the top, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The structural note, we indicate that this continues till Omid Beis. We have a house marking, and we call the first one Aleph. You can skim down the Omid Beis. Halfway down the page, even maybe a trifle bit more, you see Rav Zvid on Ayin Tes Omid Beis. This is a Machloikes Koseves Hagasa. The Mishnah made reference to a large date. Yoiser opochos mi kebetza. Is that quantity known as koseves hagasa greater than or less than another well-known quantity, a well-known food quantity known as a kebetza or an egg quantity? The Rabbi Yehuda Yoiser. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, koseves hagasa is greater, and according to Rav Zvid, it is less. The Gemara, 7 lines from the top. Omar Rabo, Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Koseves Hagasa Sha'omru. The Koseves Hagasa that was stated as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, that quantity of food that equals a Koseves Hagasa, that would be if one ate that quantity on Yom Kippur, it would be in violation of Yom Kippur, is Yesera Mikabeta, is greater than an egg quantity. The Kim Lehula Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan have a tradition. They know that the Behachi Mesva Daite, Botzer Mehachi Lo Mesva Daite, that this amount will result in what's called Yishuv Hadas. For our purposes, more important than translating Yishuv Hadas, it's important to understand that's an undoing. That would be the violation of the state called Inui. Inui is the practice of abstention on Yom Kippur that results in a level of discomfort. And Yishuv Hadas, literally a settling of the mind, peace of mind, that is achieved by this quantity known as Koseves Hagasa. And Rav Yehuda is telling us that's a little more than an egg quantity. Less than that amount of food won't result in Yishuv Mesva Daite, Yishuv Hadas, placating one's anxiety as a result of fasting. The Gemara continues. Mesve, we raise an objection. Note that we have a long question marking that will take us till the 4th line from the top of Amud Beis. We're going to introduce a source. And after reading the source and looking a little bit of the Gemara's comment on Amud Beis, we're going to come to the realization that a beitza, to suggest that a koseves hagasa is greater than a beitza will be untenable. And the Gemara will give us an answer. But in the meantime, Meisve, Meise, Vehevil, Rabban Yochum, and Zakai, Litoimus, and Tafshil, an incident involving laws of Sukkis. specifically the sukkah, which is a place that one is expected to eat his meals within the sukkah, over the holiday of Sukkot. However, when we say eating the meals, that generally speaking is associated with a formal meal. What about snacking, eating other things? Let's see. So the incident reported here has Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai being presented with some dish to taste, and Rabbi Gamliel was given shtei kosavos, two dates, udli shomayim, and a pail of water, v'omru, and they said, ha'elum l'sukkah, bring them to the sukkah. Meaning, let's focus on what we've dashed, underlined, Rabbi Gamliel's comment of the shnei kosavos, bring the two dates and the water to the sukkah. V'toni Allah, and it was taught concerning that, lo mitnei shalocha kach, not because the halacha demands that, elo shirotsu l'hachmir al atzmon, they, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, wanted to impose stringencies upon themselves. So, technically speaking, the two dates could have been eaten outside the sukkah. And when they gave Rabbi Tzadok some food less than an egg in quantity, he took it in a cloth. He didn't hold it with his hand directly. In fact, he didn't wash his hands. He therefore took the food in a cloth so as he would have no contact with the food, and he ate it outside the sukkah, velo birech achrov, and he didn't make a final brocha. Of course, before eating any quantity, even a crumb, one has to make a first brocha, what we call a brichas hanenin. But as far as a final brocha, that is associated with having eaten a certain minimum quantity, less than which there's no final brocha. We should focus on the main point right now, and in fact, it's an inference. Looking at the end of this source, we have Rav Tzadok. He ate less than a kibetza outside the sukkah. We infer top of Omid Beis ha kibetza boy sukkah. However, if it was a full egg quantity, that would have to be eaten in the sukkah. Now let's take a look at what we've accomplished so far. We saw in the source two kosavos, two dates outside the sukkah. That's okay. The egg quantity must be in the sukkah. Well, what does that communicate to us then? That communicates to us that two dates is less than an egg. We're dealing with quantities. Two dates, less than egg. V'yi salka daitoch koyseves hagasas shomru yisera mikabetza. If you're going to accept Rav Yehuda, we saw Rav Yehuda in the house marking back on Amud Aleph, and he said that the koyseves hagasa, the large date, is greater than an egg. His opinion is hard to accept. Mind you, hashta, now we have established shtei kosavos below garinon, two pitless dates. We're talking about eating them, so one doesn't eat date pits. Two pitless dates that we saw with Rav Gamliel. And we saw regarding the two pitless dates, they could be eaten outside the sukkah. And to be eaten outside the sukkah, they would have to be less than an egg quantity. So the two pitless dates, lo havu kibetza. Kleiseves hagasa v'garinosa mihavu yisera mikibetza. Could you imagine then that one date with its pit is greater than an egg in quantity? As we said, that's hard to imagine. So we are bringing Rav Yehuda into question. The Gemara answers. We're going to defend Rav Yehuda, and we have underlined Rav Yirmiya, and you can see Rava. Omar Rav Yirmiya. He says, believe it or not, shtei kosavos v'garinasa, two dates, two pitless dates, lo havu kabeitza. They are less than an egg in quantity. Koseves hagasa vegarinos aviyaseru mikabeitza. That the one large date with its pit is greater than a beitza. So that if we set up a hierarchy, you have smallest would be two koisavois without the garin, without their pits. Then you have the egg, and then you have and then greater than that, you've got the koisavis hagasa with the pit is even greater. Omar Rav Papa. Based on what Rav Yirmiyah just told us, Rav Papa says, Hainu di Amri Inchi. The common saying goes, Tre Kavi de Tamri, two kav. Kav is a measure. Two kav of dates. Two kav of dates that are pitless, that are ready to eat, equals Chad kavo de kashiaiso visariach. That means that you would have from the two kav of ready to eat dates, they extracted from that one kav plus of pits. So what does that show you? That when you're looking at an individual date and its relative size to the pit itself is larger than the individual date. If we look in the Rashi, Trei Kavi de Tamri, three lines from the top, Rashi, Trei Kavi de Tamri, Begar Inehon, the pits of two kav of ready to eat dates, havu kavo de kashiaiso, there is a kav worth of pits from them. Visoriach yesh bohen kav garinen viyoser, there's more than a kav of pits. Almo hagarin yoiser min hakoseves. It shows you that the garin is more than the date itself. Just to go over this last calculation in a more accurate fashion, what we are saying that if you start off with two kav of dates with their pits, and then you remove the pits from those dates, and you measure the amount of pits, you will find that there is more than one kav of pits. The balance be kav minus mashehu. Kav minus will be that which you are left with by way of dates, the meat itself. So that if you're starting off with a total of two kav of dates with their pits, by the time you separate the pits from the dates, you'll find that there, you've got two kav of material there, but how does it break down? You'll have one kav plus of pits and one kav minus of dates. The Gemara continues, and if it's not clear, then what we just demonstrated is that don't be surprised if we tell you that two pitless dates is less in quantity than one date, one large date with its pit in it. We continue in the Gemara. Rava Omar, Hosam Hainu Taimo Mishum Dahavu Le Piri. The case involving the two dates that Rav Gamliel ate outside the sukkah, the reason he was able to eat it outside the sukkah is because they were fruits. Uperi lo bo'u sukkah. And fruits don't require being in a sukkah. This approach is different than the approach Rav Yirmiyah took. Rav Yirmiyah was taking the approach that the reason that the two dates could be eaten outside the sukkah is because they lacked the sukkah quantity, the sukkah requirement quantity. Rava is saying that when you're dealing with fruits, the quantity per se is a non-issue. And as far as eating them outside the sukkah, that's not a that doesn't reflect upon their quantity, but by their very nature as being fruits, they could be eaten outside the sukkah. The Gemara challenges. Meisvei. Rebbe tells us a story. Kishoinu longdim Torah, Eitzu Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua, Heviu lefoneinu te'inim vanovim v'achalnu machilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. When we were learning by Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua, there was brought to us figs and grapes and i.e. fruits, and we ate them in a snacking way. Achilas aroi means a temporary, non-established, a permanent type meal, but a snacking. We ate them in a snacking fashion outside the sukkah. Achilas aroi in achilas kevalo. But if we were to, let's say, sit down to a meal of fruits, that would require being in the sukkah. So we see from here that you do need to eat fruits in a sukkah, and hence a question on Rava. The Gemara says no. Amo. Rava would answer, Achalnum ke'achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. All fruit eating is like snacking, is constitutes snacking, so that the concept of achilas keva wouldn't apply to fruits to begin with, and that's why that which is classified as achilas aroi is one can eat outside the sukkah. The sukkah demands only achilas keva to be eaten within a sukkah. Iboy esem, another approach to defend Rava, is achalnum achilas keva ve'achalnu pas achilas aroi bahadayu chutz l'sukkah. This approach emphasizes that what he's saying here is we sat down to a formal meal of fruits and we ate some bread along with them, but the bread we ate in a non-established fashion. The achilas aroi is a reference to the small piece of bread that we ate along with them, and we ate that outside the sukkah. Leimo misayale, can we say the following supports Rava? The Tanaic source that's quoted here is a fragmented source, but it's based on the Tanaic opinion of Rebbe Lozer that says you've got to eat over the course of Sukkot 14 meals. It's a 7-day holiday, each day 2 meals. So you have to eat 14 meals over the holiday in the sukkah. Let's say someone missed a meal. So it says, Lefikach im hishlim b'minei targima yotza, if he made up a meal with mine targima. Now we're not. This word targima is a great amount of discussion. Rashi says lifton. Lifton is something that you might loosely translate as something that accompanies bread, a dip, a spread, a smear, a condiment, something that you eat along with bread. So in order to make up a sukkah meal, it says you can make it up with mine targima. Now, if one would think that fruits require being eaten in the sukkah, lisni peros. So this source could have said that in order to make up one of the, if you missed one of the meals, you can make it up with, so if fruits require sukkah, you could have taught, make it up with fruits. So the fact that that wasn't suggested is a sign that fruits don't require a sukkah in the first place, and hence you wouldn't be able to make up a sukkah meal with fruits. That would be like Rava. The Gemara has two approaches saying there's no support to Rava from here. My mine targima, you know what targima means? Peros. Peros are included in the term targima, so you could make it up with fruits, showing us that fruits do require sukkah. The Iboya Seima, another explanation why fruits weren't mentioned. Basra de Lashrichi Peri, in a place where fruits are not common, that's what the Tana was addressing, or came from a place where fruits were not common. And therefore he didn't mention it. It wasn't a practical method of making up the missed meal. We now see the next house marking. The second approach to the Keseves Hagasa, Rav Zvid Omar, Keseves Hagasa Shomru Chasero Mikabetza. The large date with the pit is a quantity that's less than an egg. He disagrees with Rav Yehuda from Oman Aleph. Before continuing, let us note the structural aspect of this Gemara. We have diamonds, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we indicate these are nisyonos, these are attempts, limtso mokur l'shitas Rav Zvid, attempts to find sources for Rav Zvid's halacha de keseves hagasa pochas mikabesa, that a large date that was mentioned in the Mishnah is less than an egg in quantity. Disnants. We turn back to the Gemara, and this also involves a long marking. We call this the first nisayon, and we see it last a number of lines. The source is from Pesach. On Pesach, the Torah speaks about Seor and Chometz. There's a pasuk that we've included on the side of the Gemara, Shmos Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, that says Matzos Yochel Eshivas Hayomim V'lo Yireh Lecho Chometz V'lo Yireh Lecho Seor B'chol Gvulecho. Two items are mentioned that you shall not have in your possession: Chometz and Seor. Chometz is, we often associate that with bread, with that which is unleavened, and you have Seor. Seor is sourdough. In fact, the name Seor sounds like sour. It's intensely fermented dough that enables other doughs to ferment and rise. So what is the quantity of these items that would constitute a Pesach violation? I'm not allowed to have these in your possession. How much would be a Torah level violation if you do have them? So the source says Beishamai Omrim Seor Bekezayas Chometz Bekakoseves. The Seor is forbidden even an olive quantity. Chometz, the prepared dough, the prepared product, that is only if you have a koseves amount, a date quantity. The understanding, of course, is that an olive quantity is less than a date quantity. Sor, and we repeat ourselves, is an intense form of chametz. It's highly fermented dough, and it's being placed in the batter with other doughs would cause them to rise as well. V'havinon bo, and we ask, my taimo de beishamai, what is the basis of Beis Shammai? How does he know that they have different quantities, that Sor is one thing and Chometz is another? He answers, Nichtev Rachmona Chometz V'lo Boi Sor. Let the Torah write only Lo Yireh Lecho Chometz, and not bother writing about Sor. V'ana Amino, and I would figure on my own. Uma Chometz She'en Chimutzo Kasha Osir Bekezayis. If the Torah just wrote Chometz, I would figure that the quantity prohibited is an olive quantity, which is a fairly standard food-related quantity throughout the Torah. So I would have thought that chometz, which is not so intense, it is osur, even if you have an olive quantity. Seor shechimutzo kosher lo kol shekein. Sar, I would say all the more so it's more intense, all the more so it would be usur if you have an aleph quantity. And yet, midepalginu rachmona, from the fact that the Torah split them, meaning it mentioned chometz and it also mentioned sa'or, limda loch, it teaches us, shi'uro shelzeh lo kishi'uro shelzeh. The quantity of one is different than the quantity of the other, and hence it's necessary to spell them both out. And what is the difference? Sa'or, because that's a chometz, bekakosefes. The sa'or, the sourdough, is prohibited at a mere aleph quantity. Chometz bekakosefes. Ve'i salka daitoch, kosefes hagasa sha'omru yusera mikabetza, if you were to think like Rav Yehuda suggested, that the large date is greater than an egg in quantity, Michti, let's look into our matter. Beishamai Ashur de Nofish Mikazayas Komahadri. Beishamai is seeking a quantity a bit larger than a Kezias. Hence, we saw Beishamai said, the Sa'or is Bekezias, and the next substance, which is less intense, will have a larger, only if you have a larger amount, because it's less intense, only a larger amount will qualify as a violation. So Beishamai is looking for something a bit larger than a Kezias in order to define the quantity of chometz. If it were so that the koseves hagasa is more than a kabetza, so lisni kabetza, then they should have taught for the shiur, for the quantity of chometz prohibited, is an egg quantity. Once again, Beishamai, all Beishamai wants to do is to reflect the Torah's quantity differentiation between chometz and sa'or. So the sa'or having been established at a kezias, so how much would be for the chometz? A little more. What's a little more than a kezias? So we'll go up one step. So if the kebetza is less than the kosevis, so the logical thing would be to say that the chometz will be kebetza. Ve'inami ki hadodi ninu, and even if the kosevis agasa is the same as the beitza, nisni kebeitza, it should have taught in the source beitza, which is a more common quantity throughout the shas. And yet, the source didn't say anything about a kebeitza with regard to chometz. El olav shma mino kosevis equals pusa mikabeitza. Rather, you have nothing other than to conclude that the kosevis in fact is less than the beitza. That is what Rav Zvid said. The Gemara, though, is not convinced. Mimai, who says that this is a support to Rav Zvid? Dilma l'oylem e'molok kiseves hagasa she'omru yisera mikabetza. I'll tell you that the large date that was spoken about in the Mishnah is greater than an egg in quantity. Ha stamo kibetza. An average kiseves, that is equal to an egg. V'inami ki hadodi ninu, and even if you say that they are the same, v'chado minayu nokat, the Mishnah with Beishamai chose one of them, chose kosevis instead of the kebetza. But as far as establishing that the kosevis hagasa, by virtue of Beishamai's rule with regard to chometz, The Kosevis Hagasa is less than a Kebetza, so that's not so. The Kosevis Beishamai referred to by the Chometz, we're just repeating ourselves now. The Kosevis that Beishamai referred to was not a Kosevis Hagasa, it was a standard Kosevis. That is the quantity that's just above a Kezias. It might happen to be the same as a Kebetza. The Kosevis Hagasa, though, that might very well be larger, that's larger than a Kebetza. And with that, we have no support for Rav Zvid. Elo Mehocha. Second diamond. support for Rav Zvid, where do we see it? So we have a source, a Tanaic source, in which the issue of Birchas HaMozon is discussed. The term for Birchas HaMozon that we'll see in the source has to do, is the term is Mizamnin. Mizamnin is a group recitation where one person recites the Birchas HaMozon for the others that are with him. That's called Mizamnin, but for our purposes we'll refer to this as the shiur of food, the quantity of food that generates a Birchas HaMozon obligation. Ad kamo mizamnin. How much food is necessary to eat before one would be able to say the Birchas HaMozon? We say this, we call this benching or grace after meals. How much food, how much bread would one have to eat? So the first opinion is ad kezayis, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad kebeitza, and Rabbi Yehuda says even more before what one would have to eat an egg quantity. Until he could be able to say the Birchas HaMozon, he would have to eat an egg quantity of bread. Bemai komefugi, what's the underlying point of machlokes? We should point out before we go any further, though, that in order to develop this proof for, or defense, or source for Rav Zvid, we have to go through a few lines of Gemara, and that's why we have a long marking here for the number two. So we're asking b'mai komifigli, what's the underlying point of machlokes here? Reb Meir in looking at the Torah pasuk where the Torah says v'ochalta v'savoto v'rachtas Hashem Elokecha, he says the word v'ochalta zu achila v'savoto zu shtia. V'ochalta means eating, and savata is a reference, though translated it's a reference to satisfaction. He takes it to mean drinking. V'achila equals b'kezayis, where the pasuk that talks about the obligation of saying Birchas HaMazon, it speaks about achila. And achila, we know, is an olive quantity. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, v'ochalta v'savata. He takes the two words and puts them together. Achila sheyesh bo sfia, and a type of eating that results in satisfaction, a feeling of being sated. V'eizeh, and what is that? Zeh kebeitza, an egg quantity of bread will provide maybe a minimum level of satisfaction, but a level of satisfaction all the same. Before we go further, let's remind ourselves of another concept, a concept we've learned about, Yom Kippur and fasting is to accomplish Inui. The undoing of Inui is a state whereby one achieves Yishuv Hadas, a feeling of being placated, being calmed. We understand that level of food eating is not the same. In fact, it's less than the feeling of being sated. So we have Yishuv Hadas and we have Svi'a. So we continue in the Gemara. V'i salka daita keseves hagasa she'amru yusero mikabeitza. If one were to think that the large date that was spoken about in the Mishnah regarding Yom Kippur, which creates Yishuv Hadas, and that is an amount less than Kedei Sviyot, it's less than the amount that accomplishes being sated. If one were to think that the Keseves Hagasa is Yesera Mikabeitza, Hashta Kebeitza Svui Mispe'a, mind you, an egg quantity achieves satisfaction. Daita lo misba. Would his mind not be put at ease? And therefore, if that were true, then the shiur of Yom Kippur should have been reported as a kebeitza. Why are you allowing him to eat more? If a kebeitza achieves satisfaction, it certainly will have already achieved Yishuv Hadas. Why are you allowing him to go and eat more till a Keseves Hagasa? Ah, but we do allow him to eat Koseves Hagasa. It must be that Koseves Hagasa, in fact, is less than a kibetza. And that having been said, the Koseves Hagasa will achieve Yishuv Hadas, but it won't achieve Sevi'a. So as far as saying Birchas HaMazon, which requires Sevi'a according to Rabbi Yehuda, there you've got to eat all the way up till an egg quantity. But as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, even eating the lesser Koseves Hagasa quantity, that will achieve Yishuv Hadas, and hence it's forbidden on Yom Kippur. So Elolav Shma Mino Koseves Hagasa Shomru. We therefore conclude that the Koseves Hagasa that we've spoken about in the context of Yom Kippur, Pachos Mikabetza, is less than a kibetza. Kibetza misba, an egg quantity, will create satisfaction, but Yishuv Hadas could be achieved even through less. Koseves Hagasa, Koseves misva daite, eating a day quantity will achieve Yishuv Hadas. As we continue with a Tanaic source that the Gemara itself will explain. Tanya, Rebbe Omer. We continue at the top of the Pei Omer Aleph. Kol Hashiurin Kulon Bekazayas. All quantities that are food related are in terms of an olive quantity. Chutz Mitumas Oichlin, with the exception of Tumas Oichlin, the amount of food that when it becomes Tomei could communicate Tumah, can defile other food that it comes into contact with. How much food is necessary for that? Well, it's not a kezayis, it's more. It's, in fact, an egg quantity. And why is that? Well, or how do we know that? Shishino hakosu v'mashmo'on. V'shinu chachomim v'shiuron v'raya l'dovar yom hakipurim. This is a rather vague source. There are 3 points in the source, and we allow the Gemara to go on to explain it. My shino hakosuv b'mashmo. What with regard to Yom Kippur? Now, Yom Kippur, by the way, we also know that there's an unusual quantity. That's, Yom Kippur is taught not in terms of an olive quantity, but in terms of a date quantity. Tumas Ochlin, we mentioned in passing, even though you don't see it in the source, but Tumas Ochlin is in terms of an egg quantity, also a departure from the standard Kezias quantity with regard to food-related matters. So we have unconventional issues concerning food that are not in terms of a Kezias, and they include Tumas Ochlin and Yom Kippur. We said that the basis of understanding Tumas Oichlin is understanding or proof to the Tumas Oichlin halocha is Yom Kippur. So what about Yom Kippur would you say is Shino HaKosu V'mashmo? In other words, the Torah doesn't use its standard reference to food. So the Gemara explains, Milo Se'uneh. The Torah, with regard to Yom Kippur, doesn't say lo tochal, don't eat. It says it has to do with the soul or the person that's lo se'uneh, so he is chayev kores. It doesn't say asher tochal in the pasuk, so it's an unusual expression. It's shino hakos shim, it's changed b'mashmo from its standard expression. Umay shinu chachome b'shurel. What's the change that the sages made with regard to the quantity of Yom Kippur? Answer, kakoseves. Yom Kippur is evaluated or is judged based on having eaten a date quantity, not the standard kazayas, olive quantity. Umay raya l'dover Yom Kippurim. And why is it necessary to bring Yom Kippur into the picture? In other words, if you are claiming that with regard to Tumas Ochlin, there is an unusual posuk, in other words, there's a Shinu Yakosu B'mashmo, So isn't that enough to establish that Tumas Ochlin will have a different quantity? What do you have to fall back onto Yom Kippur for that? The Gemara answers, De'i mehosam, had I had just the posuk with regard to Tumas Ochlin, and the Gemara, it's interesting, doesn't reveal what the posuk is at this point, and Rashi too is, it's Rashi too doesn't emphasize the difference, but we will see in the Gemara, and Rashi now, in this Dibur Maaso, De'i mehosam, he does make reference to the Shina Kosuv, where it the pasuk says, "Mikol ha'oichel asher ye'achel." That's a pasuk. "Mikol ha'oichel asher ye'achel." Rashi quotes that, and here the Gemara explains that if I had just that pasuk, the imei hasam havamina urcha dekrohu, I would have thought that that's within the realm of normal speech. That from there you don't see a real Shino HaKosuv B'Mashmo ever, but when it comes to Yom Kippur, you see a real Shino HaKosuv B'Mashmo. It stands out, and we see the changed Shiur. Then when we come to Tumas Ochlin, we say, hey, you know, that expression of Mikol HaOichel Asher Yochel is also a somewhat unusual expression, lending us the basis for concluding that there's a different quantity regarding Tumas Ochlin, different than the standard kezias. And we explained before, tumas ochlin, food that becomes tummy, will communicate tumah to other food if you're dealing with a kebetza, an egg amount. The next section of Gemara then focuses on the issue of the quantity for tumas ochlin being set at an egg. Where do we know that from? But, Mirtz Hashem, that will be the opening topic of our next year. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.